You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 25th, 2021. This is the one-year anniversary of the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. The man, black man, down on the ground, handcuffed with an officer, more than one officer on him. One officer in particular, Derek Chauvin, with his knee rotating between either George Floyd's neck or his back. And, of course, he was convicted on three counts. Well, as they're trying to hold a memorial service in that same area, shots were fired today at what they call George Floyd Square. They still are trying to sort out who fired them and why, and one man did show up at the hospital, apparently in critical but survivable condition. And there are numerous events planned around the nation and in D.C., and President Biden welcoming the George Floyd family to the White House. We still continue to have a, quote, ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. The Hamas co-founder boasting in an interview that they had fired rockets from within Palestinian civilian areas. Just as I've told you previously, they tend to put their rocket launchers in the midst of civilians. So if the Israelis retaliate, which they will, they're going to end up killing innocent civilians. The leader, co-founder, I should say, of Hamas, in an interview on Britain's Sky News, saying the new element is the degree of the resistance movement, particularly in Gaza, to attack the Israeli targets at very important points, including most of the overcrowded area in the civilian society. Admitting not only are we going to fire from within the midst of our civilians, we're going to fire and try to target civilians in Israel. Senator Chuck Schumer, Jew, in Congress, kind of meekly says, yes, Israel has a right to defend itself, but he doesn't want to get too vocal because he's got members in his own party that support PLO, Hamas, and are anti-Semitic. Speaking of that, the Anti-Defamation League CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt, said, you should keep in mind we right now have, because of these actions, increased attacks inside our nation, but they're being ignored by the mainstream media and are, as I would say, state-controlled media, because he said, let's be clear, none of the people committing these crimes are wearing MAGA hats. In Texas, Dateline Texas, Republican Governor Abbott says the city of Austin, the state capital, my birth city, should face consequences. Why? Because it made a move to cripple local law enforcement. City of Austin, defunding police. He said, therefore, we're going to make Austin pay with some consequences for Austin and other cities. We will prohibit cities within Texas from doing so. Say you cannot do it. It's not just defunding the police at that moment. It's part of the issue of tearing apart police departments. And that brings chaos and anarchy. Oh, Dr. Anthony Fake speaking out again. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, now he's defending what he calls modest collaboration with scientists in Wuhan studying the back coronavirus. He said, yeah, we did present a $600,000 grant that went to a group that then paid the Wuhan Institute, but it was a modest effort. This guy is all over the place. Dr. Fake, once again. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she told campaign contributors, if you come give to my campaign, I'll personally match every campaign contribution. Axios reporters taking a look at that, and they found that Pelosi, with her estimated net worth being somewhere near nine figures, has not given one single penny to match any campaign fund sent to her. Not one. Oh, it made a good campaign promise, didn't it? Whatever you send me, I'll match. As you heard on the news a moment ago, Southwest Airline flight attendant losing a few teeth being assaulted by a passenger on a flight over the weekend. They're saying we're seeing more of that kind of violence in the skies. The North Korean leader issuing a statement. No more skinny jeans allowed in North Korea. No mullets. Yeah, if you want that kind of haircut. No spiked hair, dyed hair, skinny jeans, all because it would represent capitalism and might encourage people to revolt.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a fighter combi, on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is about whether or not this country has a border. Paying for expensive hotel-based welcome centers for illegal immigrants is categorically insane. There's no other word for it. It is actually insane. $350 per illegal migrant per day. They may as well give this contract to the Four Seasons and save the taxpayers money.
Well, that sounds about right if that's the kind of money you're going to be spending on illegals coming into the country. Those are the words of former Trump senior advisor Stephen Miller. He's talking about an $87 million contract that was given out to a group to find hotel space, and that's where they're going to put illegals. I guess they'll get turned down service, chocolate on the pillow, I don't know. The whole contract, by the way, has a lot of questions about it. We pointed this out when it was first announced by the Biden administration, when they were rushing forward to have this contract. And why do they want the hotel contract? Well, because they really want to get rid of those, well, they won't call them cages. They call them their reception centers as well, where they were keeping children unaccompanied that had come across and are others for a period of time, sometimes, or maybe not, it depended, keeping them in these areas that are draped in plastic, trying to create little pods to halt the spread of COVID. But they weren't even bothering to test everyone anyway. And if they were found to be positive, they still didn't do anything about them. You talk about a total mess. And you can't blame the agents on the ground because they're doing between what they're told to do and also they're not told to do. I mean, they don't know what are we supposed to do. We're not doing the job we're supposed to be doing from the beginning. And yeah, this contract to spend $87 million. Now, you heard Stephen Miller. He said, if you break it down based on what we've seen, what they're projecting, that's $385 a day for every illegal. Might as well book them in the Four Seasons. Now, where do we stand on the numbers right now? Mark Morgan, former chief operating officer, acting commissioner for Customs and Border Patrol Protection, said over the weekend that more than 300,000 illegals have entered our southern border since October of 2020. And he said now they're making their way into every town, city, and state in the country. We've already talked about previously that the Biden administration, by the very first day in office when Joe Biden took pen in hand and struck down the Remain in Mexico policy that was put in place by Trump, stating that if you're seeking asylum in our country, you have to stay in Mexico while we adjudicate your case and see if you're really in need of asylum. And part of that story is if you left some country in the Northern Triangle and then you get into Mexico, well, that you're in asylum. But of course, Mexico doesn't want them either. Mexico has been trying to beef up its southern border, and they certainly did it during the Trump administration because Trump made it clear if you continued to not try to impede these caravans forming in the so-called Northern Triangle of countries, and now they're deeper than that, if you're not going to do anything to stop them from coming all the way across your country to our border, then we're going to start hitting you with some additional tariffs or stop some trade action. I mean, then the Mexican government said, okay, we got to do something. But now everything's upside down again. And if you were living in some of the poverty, well, let's put it this way, almost every area, unless you're among the very elite in Honduras, Nicaragua, Guatemala, you're probably living in squalor. But if you can get to our border, we're going to put you up in a nice hotel, shower, clean linens, maybe a chocolate on the pillow. You're going to want to come, sure. Why not? Are you kidding? I've stayed in a Four Seasons a few times. And the Ritz. It ain't cheap. If I did, it was only because there was some event there that I had to be there, or there was some event and they were paying for the room. Or some personal romantic. Never mind. But I did like the chocolates on the pillow. But $87 million. It was just given. Now, if you're going to spend that kind of money on any kind of project, many of you out there who have companies, if you wanted to get that kind of project, if you were going to want a chance to get that, you figure that you're going to need to put in a bid, try to be the best bid, show some numbers, right? I mean, that's what you think would be happening, right? There was no bid war, none. They just flat gave it. And they gave it to a group that apparently has no experience in this whatsoever, but they saw a chance to collect $86 million to come up a contract with hotels along the border in Arizona and Texas. This Endeavors nonprofit group that just suddenly got it, and there apparently are ties between the Endeavors group and the Biden team, at least the transition team. Again, the words of former Trump senior advisor Stephen Miller.
This is just outrageous. Honestly, having worked on a presidential transition, having worked, obviously, at the highest levels of the White House, this would never happen when Donald Trump was president. Never, ever, ever would this have happened. In fact, President Trump would have made sure, if we were doing a contract, it would be the person with the best experience, with the most efficiency, and the best savings for the taxpayer. This group doesn't even have any experience working with ICE. As best we can tell, they have no clue what they're doing. This looks absolutely, on its face, it looks corrupt.
Absolutely corrupt. They just gave them this contract for $87 million. Let me ask you this. If I gave you $87 million, I assume first you'd thank me. But beyond that, and I said, you got to spend it on hotels to house the migrants. And I mean, they have to be taken care of. They have to have nice places. You're going to have to do it with hotels near the border in Arizona and Texas, hold about 1,200 migrants total for about 6 months. Do you not think you could find a Motel 6 with the light still on for you for 6 months to hold various illegals? And, of course, don't forget when we've got a lot of folks in our nation right now that are on the streets. Not by choice. They lost their job. They got shut down. Maybe or maybe not had something to do with COVID. They may also have a mental issue that they're on the street. They may have family who kicked them out, said, we can't deal with you anymore. There's all kinds of reasoning and explanations. It leaves them, basically, the bottom line is they're homeless. A few decades ago, I did a special report for showing what it's like to live homeless on the streets of St. Louis. But you can't really duplicate what they live with on a day-to-day basis. I did it for 60 hours, and I knew at the end of the 60 hours, I had a nice home to go home to. I knew my wife and children were in a nice home while I was on the street. Not like the whole family's out there and we're all suffering. And I knew I was making a big check at the time I was on the street. It wasn't costing me just some discomfort and nights sleeping out on the cold pavement just like others are doing on a constant basis. And there are various facilities set up that try to help take care of them, but a lot of these people on the street, whatever they collect, they don't want to share with anyone else, and they don't want to put it into one area where they might have to put all their stuff together because they're afraid it'll be stolen from them. So they either sleep on the street over a heating grate, possibly a ventilation grate coming out of a building on a cold winter night, or they'll crawl up under a warehouse dock. And, of course, they're also in danger of disease and vermin and other homeless who figure, you got something I want. So I think all of us should have empathy, especially for the children we're seeing showing up at the border. Empathy and sympathy, but we cannot take care of the entire world, and we have laws and we have a border, or we used to have before Biden came in, and all those we currently have in the streets, do we not really care about them? If you look at the Biden administration and the progressives, the answer is no, we don't care about them. We don't. I mean, come on. They're not voters anyway. These people coming in, they might be voting Democrat. And make note of this, black supporters for the Democrats. Most coming across that border are brown. And the brown population of the nation as a whole is rising, escalating quickly, be they from Mexico, South America, Cuba. That's a voter pool that the Democrats are trying to build. But in the process of doing all of this, again, as Stephen Miller, former Trump senior advisor, said, we are ignoring. When we give $87 million to house illegals through this project called Endeavors, we are ignoring Americans.
They may as well give this contract to the Four Seasons and save the taxpayers money. How many people right now that served this country honorably in uniform are having trouble? People that served in Vietnam, people that served in the Gulf War, they're having trouble paying their housing bills. While you have illegal immigrants getting $350 per day in free housing services before being flown to their destination or by bus brought to the destination of choice inside America.
Yeah, so you said this is just a welcome center. So they're just giving them breakfast and processing them? Like, what is actually going on? Why do they need a room to welcome them?
It's a great question, because you might ask, why wouldn't they just, if they're going to do that, why not just release them right out of the border? Part of it is purely for appearance sake. DHS assumes that reporters for most outlets aren't going to follow up to the next stage of the process. So they figure, well, if we don't release them right here at the border, there's not going to be cameras, there's not going to be visuals, so we bring them just a little bit further into the interior, out of public view. That's a big factor here.
That's right. Just dump them into the interior, as they were doing during the Obama administration. Suddenly a bus arrives, people get out of it, and everybody, where'd they come from? Where'd they come from? Who are they? And the local mayors were not being told anything. And suddenly they've got a 300-400 group of number of people that suddenly are in their community. What are they supposed to do about them? If they don't help them, there'll probably be some crime to follow, if not already. Coming up in the next segment, COVID update, China, Wuhan flu, and Dr. Fake. You don't want to miss it. Stand by, please.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Biden administration is now saying that very shortly half of all U.S. adults, I assume they mean 16 and above because that's what they're doing for the shots at this time, will be vaccinated against coronavirus. Half. Be fully vaccinated. And one of the makers says that its vaccine is good for those 12 and up. And Dr. Fake is now saying the COVID-19 vaccine adverse events are extremely rare, but they're under study. Yeah, Dr. Anthony Fake, head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, finally admitting in a hearing in front of the House Appropriations Committee when they wanted, and he was being pressed about a $600,000 grant that his group gave to a group called Eco Health Alliance, which in turn they knew was going into the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Dr. Fake says, well, it's we had a modest collaboration, modest, and that we didn't actually ascertain the money to do gain-of-function research. He said, but it would have been dereliction of our duty if we didn't study it. But he never bothered telling us until it got exposed, did he? There's your dereliction. If you want to be honest, you want to be upfront, why don't you say, well, my group did send some money to the eco group, and we knew then turn it was going to Wuhan, and after that, we don't know what was going on. And we've never been in there, and we're not allowed, and no one else is either. But now the World Health Organization, the Biden administration, relying on the World Health Organization to help do a full inquiry of what happens and what happened inside the Wuhan labs. And reports coming out that some of the scientists came out of their sick months and months before the rest of the world even knew about it. And they want to tell us it had to do with the wet markets, nothing that they were working on and developing. And you got a New York Times reporter, Maggie Haberman, blaming former President Trump Oh, sure, why not? Blame them if you can. Kick them. Kick them again. Along with Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Pompeo. Blaming them for the corporate media's reckless inability to cover the Wuhan lab leak theory early in 2020. That's the way it's phrased by Jordan Davidson, writing for the Federalist, and I agree, right on target. But again, Haberman on CNN directly saying, I think it's important to remember that part of the issue back when this was first being reported on, discussed back when the pandemic had begun, then President Trump and Mike Pompeo suggesting they had seen evidence this was formed in a lab. They also suggested it was not released on purpose, but they refused to release the evidence showing it was. And so because of that, that made this instantly political. It was example 1,000 when the Trump administration learned when you burn your own credibility. Give me a second. I'm going to compose myself. Here is a New York Times reporter talking about you should learn, her words, when you burn your own credibility over and over again, people are not going to believe you. My God, you're right. But you and your minions, you kind of fall along that. You burn your credibility over and over again, and you raise a flag. Have a party. In the next segment, retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood joining us. How our military is being damaged severely. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My next guest, retired Lieutenant Colonel, Marine Colonel Dakota Wood, 20 years in the U.S. Marines, graduate of the Naval Academy. Colonel Wood, always glad to have you on board. Welcome back, sir.
It's always great to be with you. You've got the best music.
Thank you. Well, yeah, between my director, Quentin, and me, I think it worked out. I appreciate that very much, sir. By the way, folks, Dakota Wood, as I said, retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel, is also an expert in the defense programs at the Heritage Foundation. And you just published a piece along with your colleague Mike Gonzalez that we've had on sometimes before about the woke takeover of the U.S. military and dangerous us all. And you began with someone being fired as part of the new wokeness. Go ahead, sir.
Right. So a lot of folks might not know that we have a new military service, the Space Force, like the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps. The Space Force was put in place about a year and a half ago. And in that, like those services are units, this was a unit commander, a lieutenant colonel, who was fired, relieved of his duties, while the Space Force investigates things that he has said on his own time on podcasts, where they have discussed a book that he published on his own time, self-published, that had to do with these Marxist ideologies and Marxism in its true form, right? Oppressed versus oppressor, those sorts of things. critical race theory, identity politics, gender identity that have been imposed on the military through training packages and unit stand downs. And what he has said in his work is, look, this is the complete opposite of team building and having a country that we can be proud of, defending the Constitution potentially with our lives. And it's just injurious to the whole purpose of a military and trying to get people to join it and work for a country if, according to the ideologies, America is inherently racist, that its constitution was constructed such that racism would be built into the, you know, the warp and weft of American fabric, and that these are irredeemable qualities.
Well, let me break down some of this. Let me break down some of this. This is Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer. Is that correct pronunciation?
Yes.
And you say he dismissed from his post after bashing critical race theory. But was it just that? I mean, first thing that comes to mind for some folks is the Hatch Act. If you're in military and you're in military uniform, you cannot be taking part in any kind of political events, persuasion event, campaign, so forth. Now, this, you're saying, is a podcast, apparently, in a book he's also writing on his own time.
Yeah.
But if it's a podcast, did they identify him as Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer of the U.S. Space Force? And does that violate the Hatch Act there? But I don't see them citing that reason, if that's true.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, it's okay to be referenced, you know, as a member of the military or what have you. You can't appear on a political stage in active uniform as an active duty a military member or take sides in a political context, but that's not what he's done. And I've listened to these podcasts. He doesn't cite any political appointee or government official by name. He doesn't take sides on Republican versus Democrat or anything like that.
Is he identified as a member, as an active member of the, is he identified as an active member of our Space Force or our military?
Yes, he is, but that's not in violation of the Hatch Act or any other thing. So what I looked at was, does he seek to undermine the authorities of political appointees, either the president as commander-in-chief of the military, or the appointees serving as the service secretaries or the Secretary of Defense? He doesn't. He doesn't take his chain of command to task by name, really.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because that's a very key point, certainly in all the forces, certainly in the Marines, a chain of command. I don't care how much you disagree, you follow the instructions and orders you're given, and you do not go around to the next person's superior, or not supposed to.
Absolutely. And this is a really important point that you bring up. It's why the military is so effective, that as long as orders are legal, they're lawful, then the military will salute and they will execute and carry out things to the best of their ability. How else would you put a military force into harm's way and take a hill or sail a ship, you know, into a missile-infested set of waters when people might fear for their lives? So you're doing this because you believe in the effort that you're fighting for. You believe in the country, your fellow Americans, and the system, right, that America represents. And so the military is an excellent mechanism for gender equality, for racial equality, for creating opportunities, you know, for people to rise up from wherever they're starting, economic, social status, gender, ethnicity, race, religious beliefs. It doesn't matter where you come from in America. You join the military and you have these opportunities to really excel and to build teams, right?
Well, I'm gonna
let me continue real quickly.
Sure.
It's also a mechanism that if you have a political agenda to employ, right, or to impose, what better place to do that than in a military that's going to salute and try to execute these things? And so what he is saying is some of these ideas undermine the entire concept of team building and unity and being proud of the country. And that's the argument he's making. And some people have taken, you know, exception to him criticizing those particular materials.
Okay. And folks, you noted how quiet I went when he said, let me finish. I mean, this is a, he was a lieutenant colonel in the Marines. I was a sergeant. You damn right. I shut my mouth and listened. But
but
to that point, you were also pointing out, sir, that it's not just him and this. It's what's happening in all the branches. You said the Navy professional reading program has books portraying America as systemically racist, promoting the view the Constitution is written to perpetuate white supremacy. Defense Department considering hiring a private company to monitor free speech of military personnel on social media, using keywords, algorithms to break them down and tear them apart. I mean, this is, as you said, extremely troubling.
Again, the military is a great mechanism to impose or to try to actualize certain ideas. So if we want equality in the country, you know, what better place than to seek equality than the military? And I would call on anybody, you know, to join the military and serve their country. And you're going to be part of a team and you can rise to positions of leadership and education and all that stuff. But if you have another agenda in place, like the ones we've been discussing, the military can also be a mechanism to impose those things. So as you see these political leaders, and keep in mind that the Secretary of the Navy, Army, Air Force, Space Force, et cetera, those are political appointees, and so they're going to do the bidding of the White House. You know, the White House has a particular political agenda in play. We've seen it in school systems, universities, business communities, sports, enterprises, and there's been a lot of public blowback to this.
Sir, to that extent, and let me point out to the audience, Marine Colonel Dakota Wood also was a lead operation logistics planner for our U.S. Central Command during our initial response to the attacks of September 11. Now, a very, very simple question. With all the wokeness that's going on, especially as a Marine, and if you're in a combat unit, does the other Marine behind you, beside you, in front of you, does their gender or sexual preference or a combination of affect your ability, and is that damaging?
In normal circumstances, no, it does not, because, like, you know, Marine Corps experience, if everybody completes boot camp, you've met the standard, you know, for becoming a Marine, everybody appreciates the same sort of experience. And you get out into the fleet Marine forces, everybody's doing their job. As long as you're meeting standard, who cares what your skin color is or, you know, what your religious convictions are, what have you. You're all
sexual preference, transgender.
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, you know, the new generation coming into the military have grown up in a different world than what you or I grew up in, right? So, you know, coming in out of the 50s, 60s, 70s was a different cultural context than what we have today. So I would say that I know this is controversial. If the current military generation is comfortable with some of these things and they don't prove to be disruptive to good order and discipline, then why would that be a problem?
All right.
So now, where you have these Marxist ideologies is intentionally defining people by class and by race and pitting them against each other, which is the antithesis of team building. Right. So now today, with these ideologies, if you have a unit, you have blacks and whites and Hispanics and Asians, if they're all looking at each other suspiciously, and I know you're the oppressor and I'm the oppressed, how can that result in team unity?
You okay.
know, that's the All point right. that Lohmeyer is trying to make.
Excellent point. And in the last 30 seconds, I just want to get your take on President Biden visiting with Putin. What can be accomplished, what should be accomplished, or could be?
Well, he's going to seek accommodation. You know, they don't want, they being the administration, don't want any foreign problems coming up. You know, they're trying to find equivalents between the Israelis and Hamas and Gaza. They're trying to reach accommodation with Putin and Moscow relative to the interests of Germany and other European
powers. Yeah, giving
powers.
Them a pipeline while shutting NARS down.
Exactly. You know, why would we want to flow billions of dollars into Moscow's, you know, bank account via Germany, right?
Yes.
And make them more dependent on Russia for energy instead of being able to stand up against, you know, this odious regime that Putin heads.
Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, I thank you again for your time and your expertise. We will do it again, sir.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Our pleasure. Coming up, the Heritage Foundation actually came up with a great list of Democrat hypocrisy. Stand by.
You can hear pop.
podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We talk all the time. We talk all the time, and we often easily document all the time the hypocrisy of lawmakers, be they Republican or Democrat. But we've seen an extensive amount of hypocrisy regarding COVID when it comes to Democrats breaking their own rules. So the Heritage Foundation began putting a list together and taking a look at all the hypocrisy they have found by the rules being broken by political leaders. And most, if not all, they see here are Democrat. No surprise there. And this actually has to be updated. It does not include the most recent event of last weekend where Governor Whitmer was photographed with a group of people all not wearing masks and violating a rule she'd put in place just days before. You had to maintain 6 feet distance still in her state, and you have to, you know, be masked and so forth. Well, she later said, well, that was a mistake. We were all vaccinated, so we weren't worried. We kind of pushed some tables together. I shouldn't have done that. You think? But you're telling everybody else this is the rule. See, that's the issue, the hypocrisy. And then you're stupid enough to get caught in a picture, and you know it's got to go out. But let's read through some of these others. The Chandler, Arizona School Board canceled the senior prom in April. They canceled the senior prom, but they went ahead with a retirement party for the school superintendent. Well, hallelujah. Oh, and they also do mention Governor Gretchen Whitmer referenced April 19 when she went to Florida for a family visit while telling citizens don't travel. In fact, if we have any case surge, it's because of travelers. Don't do that. You got the Michigan health director, the top health official in Michigan, going to the Gulf of Mexico, despite the governor's warning not to travel. Now, there you have Governor Whitmer of Michigan saying folks in my state should not travel. But then you have the same health director in her own state violating the governor. I guess you could say, well, you did, yeah. And then you got this, a lot of this happening out of Michigan. And I know we've got listeners up there. I hear from you from time to time on the email, and I appreciate you using the app and spreading the word. Like to get up syndicated, but you're helping us do it anyway. But another aide to the governor, Tricia Foster, also went to Florida with her family after the governor Whitmer, her boss, had told citizens don't travel. Okay, well, then let's go into March. Governor Gavin Newsom saying, I can relate to the struggles of remote learning for kids. He said that in March. I can relate to struggles of remote learning for kids. His kids have been going to private school in person for months. You got Congressman Raskin, D.C., on the House floor without a mask after sponsoring a bill to fine House members who won't wear them. Oh, and again, back to Governor Newsom in California, did an indoor bill signing ceremony at a restaurant that had to be closed for indoor dining, but they could hold a bill signing. Oh, back to Governor Whitmer again in Michigan, banning outdoor gatherings at 25 plus in January. And then she went to the inauguration festivities, traveling and in the midst of many. New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy, state advising against all non-essential interstate travel at this time, while the governor also went to the inauguration. Joe Biden, president as of January 20, signing a mask mandate for federal property and then didn't wear the mask on federal property. And forgets it half the time, or dropped it on the floor the other day, picks it up to put it back on, or walks through Arlington Cemetery with not one but two masks after he's been vaccinated. And when it came to swearing-in ceremony for the federal lawmakers January 4, the congressmen were not abiding by any social distancing, and they had numerous folks attending. They wanted to see them be sworn in, But later, when a Republican battle is finally decided and the Republican congresswoman is given the go-ahead that she is a duly elected candidate, Pelosi said, no, you cannot have a swearing-in ceremony and you can't have people come watch. I mean, they had to do the swearing-in, but not a ceremony. And Congresswoman Gwen Moore of D.C., January 3rd, Pelosi needed every vote she could to remain Speaker. Congresswoman Moore had already been diagnosed with COVID, and she showed up in the House to vote. Or, of course, you got Mayor Bill de Blasio telling New Yorkers, don't celebrate New Year's in Times Square. And then he celebrated Times Square. He was seen there. Yeah. I mean, it's on down the list. This is amazing. I mean, you can go to Heritage Foundation, heritage.com. And I got to tell you, you're going to find event after event back to Austin, Texas. The mayor telling everybody in Austin in December, stay home. The mayor was vacationing at that time in Cabo. Boy, that sounds nice. But you just stay home. And then you have a judge in Austin, Texas, in November got fined for violating his own stay-at-home order. Hypocrisy is thy name. As always, I appreciate you supporting the program. Tell others about it. Share it. You are creating a groundswell because right now there is no other station like this in town. One station turning its back on 25 years of conservative patriotic programming. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.